Amen. I love that selection of songs. Thank you, Brother Aaron. He said this morning, he's like, boy, this would be the perfect Sunday after that song service to preach about King of Kings. It's like, well, I think we already covered that a little bit a while back. But as we have talked and looked in this new part of the series of our spiritual identity, our being and our identity is based upon His. So by no means is it detracting from or in opposition to His fullness and completeness. Rather, it's because of that we can have a changed spiritual identity and reality that we can live in, that we can actually know more than just what we were born with in this fallen world. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the sermon this morning. Father, I thank you for your absolute, uncontestable power. You shall reign forevermore. Lord, I cannot wait for the day that you have promised when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, right now in our world, it's so easy to become discouraged and overwhelmed and disillusioned in looking towards and looking forward to the coming of our King to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because it seems so distant and so impossible. But yet, Father, help us, even as we were encouraged and challenged this morning looking at Simeon and Anna, to continue looking towards what has been promised and what is coming, even if it seems as though it's lingering long in coming. Lord, may we be found waiting, found ready. May we be like the virgins who, when the bridegroom came, they had oil, they had fire on their lamps, they had a readiness to go and to be with him. Lord, may we be among those faithful ones. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing this morning on who I am in Him, our spiritual identity. We've looked at a new creature. We've looked at born again. We've looked at being the righteousness of God in us. That's staggering. We've looked last week at scriptures repeated, oft repeated, assertion that I am dead. No longer do I live, but Christ lives in me. We looked also at what it might appear on the surface to be contradictory, but is not, that I am alive in Him. I'm dead to the world, I'm dead to sin, I'm dead to the old man, and I am alive in Him. Again, we have talked at some length about the gap between what God says is the absolute eternal truth and sometimes our experience of reality on a day-to-day basis. And how do you find the unity between those? How do you correlate those together? And learning to live in the reality of what God says, who God says I am, and live out from that life, that reality that He's placed inside of me, rather than saying, well, I am just who I am, and I'm trying to live into or live trying to attain or reach toward who God says I'm supposed to be. No, God says you are that. Now you live out from that. So this morning I want to begin in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. He says, speaking of Christ, he says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption." That's a buying back, a purchasing back from a state of loss through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So what is our next section here is, who am I in Christ? I am delivered. I am delivered. He says he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, he didn't say he's delivered us from the presence of darkness, right? We still live in this dark, evil world. We still have all this filth around us, but he's delivered us from the power of darkness. We, through Christ Jesus, through that rebirth, through that indwelling of him in our lives, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we don't have to be subject to those things anymore. We no longer are just a plug and play kind of a setup with the darkness of the world around us. When you take a simple electrical machine, there's certain things that have been programmed into that machine. When I supply power, this happens. When I supply power to this part, this happens. He says, we're delivered by Christ. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. Now, as it has been through all of our life leading up to this point, when the darkness provides that power, that little surge of energy, I act in such and such a way, right? It's not necessarily a choice. It's not necessarily that I want to always act that way, but when the power gets supplied to those circuits, this is what happens. Jesus says, hey, I've cut off that power source. You no longer are a direct cause and effect from the power of darkness anymore. It has no influence or power over you. So when you and I live as though it does, what we're doing is we see that power connected up and we go, I'm supposed to do such and such when that power gets connected, right? Well, no, that power supply has been cut off. Christ said, I've delivered you from the power of darkness. You don't have to be bound to react in the way that you would have been wired before to react when that power of darkness was connected up, when that power supply was connected up. The word deliver in this context has kind of the idea of taking a wire snips, and he's snipped the power supply off. He snipped those wires off behind the interface. So the world's coming in with, hey, here's some jolt of electricity, and it just... And you and I go, I'm delivered from that power. It no longer causes me to jump the way that I used to. I was wired that when that power was provided, this is the result. No longer. Christ has severed that connection between that power of darkness and the response that would have naturally been mine in my life. Now, many times in our lives, it's easy for us to continue acting as though we're connected to that power supply, right? So many times it's the power of, what do they say? The power of suggestion. Like, I see the cord got plugged in. I guess that means I'm supposed to do this. You know what I'm supposed to do? I know how that always causes me to react, right? Well, am I living in the reality? Am I embracing and learning to live in the reality that, hey, that power supply is cut off? No longer am I a servant of cause and effect to that power of darkness. That power gets supplied. Guess what? It's shorting out somewhere in the system. It's not reaching me because he has delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me. That word you could think of as he's rewired me or he's remodeled me into the kingdom of his dear son. So now what happens is when the power from God, the power of light, the power of Christ gets connected up, now I respond in the way that he has determined that I ought to respond, because I'm no longer influenced by the and my enemy, my flesh, can be over there. They're jamming those prongs as deep into that outlet as they can get it. Come on, crank up the power a little bit. Let's jolt it from 110 to 220. Let's kick on the three phase. There's a complete disconnect there. I'm no longer affected by that. It has no longer sway over me. It's not that those influences aren't coming against me. It's not that those influences aren't trying to cause me to react in the way that I have in the past reacted, but they ought to be, and in Christ, they are cut off and they're short-circuiting out. Those wires, those connections, they're gone. You amp that power up as high as you want to, there's no connection anymore, so it's not reaching me. But so many times we live as though we're still connected to it. And oh, but the pressure's getting stronger. So it's disconnected. He's delivered me from the power of darkness. So they can crank up the amps and the volts and the ohms and the joules, and they're just pouring it all in as hard as they can. It's not touching me, because it's not that I've got a new transistor that blocks that power. He's cut it off. He's delivered me from the power of darkness. There's no longer those pathways for it to enter and to cause those reactions in me. He's translated me. He's rewired me to now I respond to a different source of power. I respond to a power coming from the kingdom of his dear son, from the power of light, in whom we have redemption. He didn't just, we as human beings in Adam and Eve, we sold ourselves as slaves to sin, slaves to our flesh, slaves to our enemy, the devil. And he came and purchased us back, cut off the power supply, translated or rewired us to now be connected to his righteous power supply. We have been, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I am delivered. That connection is severed. That connection is cut. I no longer have to work and respond in relation to that supply of power coming in from the darkness. It's not connected to me anymore. If I choose to react to that, I'm saying, I'm going to come twist on some little wires and sap off a little power, right? Why? Why would I do that? Why would I look back at that and go, oh, I see he plugged the cord in. I guess I should go do the things that I'm supposed to do when that cord gets plugged in. No, that connection is disconnected. No longer am I a slave to cause and effect of the power of darkness being supplied to me, to my life. It's cut off. I'm delivered. Again, we talked last week about you're dead. Now live like it. You're delivered. That power is cut off. Now walk in the power that is being supplied from the power of light and walk properly. You and I find ourselves so many times fighting these battles that in Christ do not truly exist, but in our minds, we're still fighting this battle of, oh, they're cranking up the power on the supply coming in of the power of darkness. I just don't know if I can stand against this. You're not called to stand against that power flowing in. God cut it off. Don't worry about that. Don't look at that. Don't try to erect a barrier to block me off from that power of darkness, because I don't want to do the things that I used to do when that power came. And I see the power coming, you know, like the water coming down the hose. I can see that it's coming my direction. I don't know if I can stand. Don't stand in your own strength. Don't feel as though you have to try to block those things and shield those things off. Christ disconnected those things. Rather, turn to the true supply of power, the new supply of power, and say, Lord, here I am, wired to serve you. You pour in the power. You direct my hands, my feet, my mouth, my mind, my words, my thoughts. And I now only receive and interact with the power that comes from you. I don't have to any longer worry about or be concerned with or try to fight this battle. Christ already delivered you. He already finished that battle. Those lines are cut off. Don't sit over there fiddling with the wiring anymore, because guess what? When you're fiddling with those wiring, you get shocked. Because that power of darkness is still flowing in and hitting the end of those snipped off wires. If you're over there messing with them, you're going to get shocked. And we do again and again and again. We put ourselves in a position where we're on the losing end of a battle because I'm over here messing with wires that Christ already snipped off and said, that's done. Now we leave that behind. Now we are working over here. We're looking over here. Our supply of power is coming from over here. Our interaction, all of our reactions and stimulus for everything we need is flowing in from Christ's power. And too many times, we're still glancing back behind. Boy, there's a lot of sparks back there. It's arcing across awfully. You know, there's a lot of arcing and sizzling. Oh, man, boy, I should probably go do something about this. Well, as soon as I go to try to mess with it, I find myself hooking up wires, right? Because I'm making connection. I can't go mess with these wires without touching them, without making connection. And all of a sudden I realize, whoa, that still has power. Of course, darkness didn't lose its power. Christ just severed it from affecting and directing the course of your life. But if you go mess with it, you're still going to get shocked. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. I am delivered. No longer is it a simple binary code of, oh, I received this command prompt. Now I have to do what I'm told by the power of darkness. No, it's cut off. We ought to, when the power of darkness comes sending those command prompts, it ought to receive a error, 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 power not connected, cannot find motherboard. Nothing exists at the end of the command prompt you're sending. There's nothing there. But too many times we're still reading the messages coming in, right? Going, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, don't. Why am I sitting here laboring in my spirit, laboring in my mind, laboring in my heart and my being to not be affected by that power when Christ said it's not connected to you anymore? You're free. You're delivered. Those lines have been cut. Don't go back over there and receive the command prompt and then go, no, I don't want to do that. No, you don't have to. Again, we talked a couple weeks ago, don't keep collecting the mail. I don't live here anymore. Why am I still opening packages? Why am I still checking to see what offers were sent to me, to the old me, right? I don't live here anymore. That's not my mail. John 8. Verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
And then skip on down to verse 36. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Those lines are completely severed. If the Son has made you free, you're not, I'm kind of free. I'm glad that he slowed down. He put a clamp on there that only a little bit can get through at a time. No, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. Those lines are totally cut off. They're totally separated. They cannot affect you unless you go mess with them. That power is not connected anymore to me. God cut that off. Christ cut that off. And if the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. You are truly, fully, completely free. You don't have to worry about or interact with those things anymore. I don't live there. It's not me. I'm not wired that way anymore. I've been translated or rewired to respond to His power. I've been made part of His kingdom. I'm not the old plug and play that I used to be with the world. Why do we so often forget and live like it? This whole series, the whole heart of this whole series is learn to live from and in the reality that Christ has created inside of you as a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You and I are not the same person anymore. Don't live like you are. Learn to lean into and embrace and live from the new reality that Christ has made real and true in your life. That can't affect me anymore. I am delivered. I am delivered. The next one that I want to look at, and it goes right along with it, we're going to look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, John here doesn't say, for whatsoever is born of God should overcome the world, right? What does he say? He says, whatsoever is born of God does. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is a settled reality. Cause and effect. You're born of God, all right, you overcome the world. Again, that's not always our experience, right? But that is the truth that we need to learn to live out of. What does he say, though? Let's focus in a little bit here. He says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Even our faith. This whole series, we've been looking at and talking about how we need to, by faith, take hold of, embrace, and live in, and live out of the reality of what God says is true. Interesting that he says, you overcome the world by faith, by believing that who God says he is who he truly is, by believing that who God says I am is who I now am truly in Christ, not just who I should be, not just who I'm working towards, but in Christ, I now am the righteousness of God. I now am delivered. I now am free. He says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, is your faith, your belief, your confidence in knowing that what he has said, he has done. It's not just that it's in the process of being done. It's not just that I can someday be a son of God. No, he has finished the work. It's done. Now, what is the victory that overcomes all of this that comes against me? It's our faith, our confidence, our leaning in and trusting and believing and living in the reality of who he says I am. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Many times you and I are tempted when we see hardships and difficulties and temptations coming our way to go consult our bank account, spiritually speaking, or emotionally speaking, or mentally speaking, and go, boy, do I have enough to cover this situation that's arising? What does Jesus say? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore in my strength. All the power in heaven and earth is mine. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believes that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And in believing that, leans into and receives all that is needed to overcome the world. He's got more than enough. Jesus didn't ever falter. He never failed in overcoming the world. You and I, through redemption, through salvation, we are plugged into the same power outlet Jesus Christ was plugged into. Everything that was available to him of the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God to live free and holy and sinless is available to me. Every bit of it. I don't have to go consult my psychological or emotional bank account to see if I've got what it takes to handle this upcoming crisis. That's not where I'm looking to find the power or to find the balance to be able to cover what's needed. Jesus said he's got all of it. How many times do we find ourselves consulting our checkbook, consulting our bank account to see if I've got what it takes to handle today, to see if I've got what it takes to ward off this temptation, to see if I've got what it takes to show grace to that person who's so trying, rather than saying, Lord, I'm going to need some extra power, but I know you've got it. Send it my way. I'm ready. Romans 8, 37 through 39, he says, speaking of all the calamities and all the difficulties that can come our way in this life, he says, nay, he says, are we overcome by these things? Nay, no, absolutely not. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. John tells us we overcome the world. Again, God is speaking here in absolutes. You and I, through faith in him, we overcome. Not we can almost overcome, or we should overcome, or we're about to overcome, but he says you do overcome. And now Paul here is saying, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I often think of it as a boxing match, and we think of, you know, two fighters in the ring, and one's getting a punch in and the other one gets a punch in, and it's touch and go, and you're like, well, I'm cheering for my guy and I hope he wins, but well, that's some stiff competition. What does more than conquerors look like? He walks out in the ring and the enemy comes, and boom, one blow and he's down. Is he gonna get up? He's out. He's out like a light, more than conquerors. Paul says, you and I, he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am, here's this faith again, for I am persuaded, I'm confident that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth, they get everything, if not, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How? Why? Because, for I am persuaded that faith is the key. I am persuaded that who he says he is and who he says I am in him is reality. I am persuaded that when he says he's made me free, he actually did what he said. He's actually coming through on his end of the deal. He actually means it when he says you're free indeed. He actually means it when he says you are more than a conqueror. He actually means it when he says you don't have to be influenced or connected to that power supply anymore, the power of darkness. It does not connect. And in both of these passages, we see it clearly tied to belief, clearly tied to faith. And so many times we want to feel like it, right? Well, I would stand in the power of Christ if I felt like it was there, if I felt like I knew what it was or how to wield it, or that if I felt like that it was reality, but my reality doesn't agree with that. I am persuaded. Paul says this with absolute confidence. I believe this. Therefore, this reality is true in my life. Because I'm living in that reality. I'm choosing to take God's word at face value, to take it for absolute, solid, immovable reality, and build my life on that. It doesn't move. It doesn't shake. The only moving and shaking and falling that happens is when you and I go, wow, that's a big wave coming my way. I don't know if I can stand on that one. No, you can't. Not in you. But who does Christ say I am? Peter, of course you can't stand on that big wave. Except that Christ said you can. Christ said, step out of the boat and come to me. Okay. And I step out and I start walking, and then all of a sudden I realize, whoa, this is bigger than I realized. Oh. Jesus knew how big it was. Jesus has been walking on it all the way from the shore out here. And he said, come. If he commanded me to come to him, he will supply the power to fulfill that command. What happened when Peter started looking around and basing his faith on something other than the word of God, basing his faith on his reality, right? The reality is, this is the sea. You don't walk on water. The reality is, that's a big, violent storm. The reality is, that wave's higher than my head. What's the truth? The truth is, Jesus is standing there, and he said, come. What does Jesus say to him when he begins to sink? He says, ye of little faith. We are called, what does he say? The just shall live by faith. We are called to live a life of faith. It's not going to look like what God says it is most of the time. But am I going to live based off of what I can see and what I experience? Or am I going to live based off of the reality, the truth of what God says is the eternal, unshakable fact of the matter. I'm not living in me anymore. I'm living in Him. I don't have to have the power in me. The power is in Him, and I am in Him, and we're connected. He has made us more than conquerors. He has made us overcomers in Christ Jesus. I am an overcomer. Philippians 4, verse 12 through 13. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul here is not indicating that those difficulties and those hardships are not going to come. In fact, he's stating clearly that he expects them to come. They will come. But that in Christ, we can walk above it all. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not looking to see if I have what it takes. I'm looking to see if He has what it takes. And of course, He does. He has everything. He has all. 1 John 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. May we learn to live in the reality of Christ, in the truth of Christ. I am delivered. I am free. I'm an overcomer, more than an overcomer, more than a conqueror. You overcome the world because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Lord, it's so easy for us, day after day, moment after moment, to live in the reality that we experience, to live in what we see, we feel, we touch, we smell, we taste, to let that shape and create and determine the realm and the reality that the substance of our reality. Lord Jesus, may we learn to lean with intention and with commitment into who You are and who You say we are. To learn to stand and to live by faith. For that is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith in You. And we are of God and have overcome the world because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh Lord, may we learn to live in and from this reality of who You say I am.